did anybody do your, what was your homework? Okay. Anybody do that? If you did it, raise your hand. All right. Who wants to go first?
Me.
Go ahead, Brother Alex.
Well, I started off where we were just a public group boss with
Revelation. Oh, so you just did it.
No, I have it on here. Revelation 23. So if you're going to show people, okay, so 1 Timothy 2:4, who I want men to be saved from the volunteer. Okay, that's God's will for all men. And then why is that God's will for all men? And then I've got a Revelation 21:3, okay, God wants to dwell for all eternity with his people. And then you backtrack, well, that's the angle. And then I go through Genesis and work my way through Genesis and the tabernacle, and then we end up in Hebrews. And Hebrews, this is a go-to for everybody. Hebrews 10:19, Jesus made us able to be in God's presence. It's not right. And how much he loves mankind to be able to do that. And he died for his church. And then go in and you look at Psalm 84:10. Look at how David saw the help of the Lord, and go through Psalm 77:13, where his way is.
Did you? Now you're eating.
It's good.
You just said you're ready, man.
I'm ready.
All right. How would you go about? And that's fine. That's.
I started out in Exodus chapter 30, when I talked about that God has invited us to dwell, to have that fellowship with him. And I go on to establish sin. What is sin? That breaking of the law. James 4:17, 1 John 3. I can't remember verse 7. I think. And then I go on to talk about what that payment is. It is death at Romans 6:23. And then we talk about that moment in time when the world went dark. When he gave up the curse. I'll think about that moment when Jesus took on our sins. He became sin for us through no sin. And how important, how impactful that was, because he willingly separated himself from the Father for us. And then that blood not only paid for my sins, but it also paid for a place for me to dwell in. Why would I?
Somebody else had a way or thought? And again, I don't want to read them all. I don't know that there's necessarily a right or wrong way for you to put your particular lesson together. And that's why we're doing this, because I want you to have it. There's not a church in this fellowship that doesn't have people from time to time, including us, that people fall into bad habits and they fall into miss the services we literally, so I figured the guys from Albany might have it a little easier, because I've just done like 3 lessons in a row, basically, on this. Sister Julianne, you got yours? I just see if I can get you read as I did the other night. So, Brother Garrett, you want to come up here and work on that?
Yeah.
All right. Just wait. We'll be right here. So, I don't think, well, you guys are forming your thoughts and lessons with that. You know, again, I don't think there's a right or wrong. So I literally, how I went about it is, I got a couple different lessons that kind of hit the similar thing, but I just did one Sunday flu. Sometimes a little title makes things better, I guess. It seems like people tend to get sick on Sunday. And they're not sick on Monday, and they're only sick for a little bit. And make a point that, because I think sometimes things have to be pointed out. But you know, like I just was sick on Sister Julianne, but I would not do that if there was an issue or something like that. And so I think sometimes we have to, you know, make people think a little bit, and maybe that's through a fancy title or a weird title, but I like to start with the blood of Christ, what Christ did, the sacrifice he made. I focus on the two blood covenants, because most of the time the people that are missing aren't getting it. And so, you know, you went right to Exodus, and that, I don't know that that's wrong or right. It's just kind of depends on your audience. Maybe they're more grounded and they just need to get shook a little bit, you know? And, sometimes I try to make a little joke, you know, like when I'm just missing, hey, you know, time change, we're going to start something new this, you know, we're going to try to have services at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Hope to see you there. And, you know, generally those that are missing already are getting it. I saw a hand over here somewhere. Yes.
Well, that when you brought up the experience at Sunday Blue and then the afternoon at lunch, Oliver asked, what is the Sunday?
Yeah.
So I got to explain first thing in the assembly to him that they got all.
No,
like that change in title kind of spurred his thought process that he was thinking about.
And that's just my way. You know, this doesn't have to be your way. But think about who your audience is. Think about, and I'll, so I got a little bold the other day. Well, I'm not afraid to get bold, but I hit it a little harder the other day. Nobody is this sick that you're sick every Sunday night and every Wednesday. Nobody's that sick. Nobody's that lucky. And I even said, hey, if you're that lucky, let's go sheep hunting. I'll go with you. Nobody's that lucky. Nobody's, if you're sick every Sunday and every Wednesday, that's a spiritual problem. Amen. And that is not, you know, that's not, I'm just sick. And sometimes people, we get in bad habits. You know, we all have bad habits and we get into them. And the point is, you have to teach. And that's kind of where we're transitioning into that. Hopefully a little bit tonight, definitely tomorrow. Because I'm going to throw some things out. Can you teach? Because one of the requirements of a pastor is to what?
Have
to teach. What does that mean?
Able to lift the veil.
Okay. And what does that mean?
To give the sin. To convey information to Nehemiah.
Okay.
Nehemiah 8.
Okay. Hang on to that. Because that's where we're going. So maybe hang on, grab that one for a second. And I threw some things out last time, and you know, some things that maybe some got to work on. And I've tried to say this, you know, take it with a little grain of salt. And I don't know if I gave a little bit of time for questions. Anybody have any questions? You know, somebody probably got to work on some leadership. Somebody need to work on some communication. Does anybody got any questions about that? All right, so. Can you teach? I'm not asking you if you know the information. Can you teach it? And so we did a little lesson. I'm working towards a bigger lesson on the Lord's New Testament Church. I actually taught it here a couple of years ago and taught it at home. And I've been wanting to feel convicted about doing it again, but I'm trying to set a little baseline. We got some younger members and maybe some that have been missing some. And, you know, to me, if you're missing a lot, you're missing a lot. And it was kind of funny. Somebody hit me the other night, other day. And I know with this going on, I do feel there's some that were more at the moment, maybe not even, you know, consciously following me other than the Lord. And, you know, even though I'm always trying to emphasize, you follow, you know, Paul said, you follow me and I follow Christ. And it's almost can't help it a little bit. It's not an excuse, but it's a little bit of reality. You know, and if I hit the back door, well, we need to discipline those guys. I was like, well, I can't prove that. And it was right after one of these forsaking the assembly lessons that was just kind of, you know, missing services. Like, it's funny what people don't think about. It's like they're, you know, we need to withdraw fellowship. I'm in my mind like, well, it'd be on you because you miss a lot if we're going to go that way. And I didn't say that. You don't always have to say what runs through your brain. And I'm trying to learn that. And so what is the, has anybody else got one or something that you want to, about along this line that you've been working on, and you just want, you know, it can't be, doesn't have to be my 2 cents, it could be Brother Sean's 2 cents. Yeah.
Well, I like, because I think you bring out a lot of times that there's not agreement on the Word of God and very difficult to pick those people who aren't in Grand Bible. So I started with the 316 and all scriptures. A lot of times the contention is, I think this is something that Brother O brought out at a previous school. He had us write on, well, somebody said that Jesus didn't say it in the church. And it's like, well, okay. But he starts a church and he tells it to go and teach all things. And one of the things that this church teaches is also come from church. And so you kind of go through that, going through Matthew chapter 28 and going back to Matthew chapter 3. And then you go over to, you can go over to Hebrews and Matthew 18.
And that's just taking them down the road and right. teaching. Exactly. And that's what that's kind of what I want to see your thought, you know, your guys' thought process and thinking about that. And that's going to work into some other stuff we're going to hit right here. In a minute, but that's exactly, you have to be able to teach, and sometimes it's just taking them from one path to another to another. Sometimes they just don't know, they haven't paid attention. And I had this, and I mentioned it the other night services, that I actually took it out this afternoon. The Lord's people don't listen. Did you guys not know that? And that shouldn't be a shocker, because have we always listened? You know, so it shouldn't, you know, shouldn't be surprised. They just don't listen. And have you ever paid attention how many times the Lord repeated himself in the scriptures? Well, there's a reason. You know, we're a bunch of sheep, and sheep are one of the stupidest animals on the planet. And that's how the Lord refers to us. A sheep will run itself till it dies. It will put its head in the water and drown itself to drink. Okay? So we're referred to as sheep for not the brightest. And so, that's who you are. It's who I am. That's who we work with. And you got to keep that in mind as we're going to make this a little bit of a transition. And if you got a comment question, I want you to throw it out there. I'm probably going to give some of these out just to speed us along. If you don't have a thick skin, you better start growing one. And I kind of think my skin's a little thick, but it got irritated the other night. And so all this lesson, what am I overall trying to get across here? I've mentioned it a couple times the last few classes. I started it. What's that? Oh, I thought somebody had the answer. Okay. What is the biggest thing I want to try for the rest of the year to try to get through to you? That's all of us.
Matthew 6:33.
Well, I do have that one on my notes, but that's not it. But I want you to be able to relate to the people. Because if you can't do that, can't read the room, you can't figure that out, you're going to have a real struggle. And that's my, you know, if that all clicked and made some changes in your lives, I would think for me, the rest of this year would be somewhat successful. And you have to make a connection with them. And, you know, that kind of starts at home, starts with your family, it starts with your friends, and kind of grows from there. Let's go over here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9 and 22. And then, I'll just, Brother Alex, once you get Philippians 2, 5, and I'm going to have to read through 11. And so, so for whatever reason, I guess I know the reason, but for whatever, this week's been more of a struggle for me than it's been for a little bit. And I've just been really tired. When I'm tired, it doesn't work so, everything doesn't work so good. It's been, you know, busy month or so. And so just more of a on the struggle. And then when I'm, you know, I'm aware I'm not you know, a year ago. And that really bothers me. So, and I don't think everybody is going through something. Everybody has something going on, even the pastor. Generally, we don't know. And, you know, why should you? And so I, you know, somebody said something at the back. I really felt Wednesday night, I really struggled with the lesson, just reading and finding, you know, keeping my track. And, that's kind of how the week's gone. So, you know, I'm already feeling that. And then little comments made at the back door. I don't even believe they made the comment was made in a manner that I took it. And so sometimes we just, you know, take things. I don't think they're trying to be vicious or angry or whatever, but I'm like, you know, I spent 5 hours just today trying to do this 25-minute lesson. And I didn't say that, but I'm like, man, that was a waste of 5 hours. And I felt that when I was doing it. And so I don't think everything needs to be, you know, I don't have to point out everything. And I do kind of think the church has a right to, you know, the members to, you know, maybe say something. And because I don't think overall that people are necessarily trying to be, let's just say negative. But sometimes that's how things get taken. And some of it is, as we're going to go into the next part of this, is attitude. And so I'm taking this as much as trying to give it to you guys. And so so I would say my week, even with some things with my attitude, hasn't been the best. And I've been praying about that, knowing this lesson, working on that, and frustrated, all those things. A little frustrated. It's like, not able to go next week, and that you know, that kind of bothers me. And then when all the oars aren't touching the water, I don't know if you've ever gone in a boat, but sometimes you're trying to row and you're trying to go fast, and all you're doing is skimming the top of the water. You're not going anywhere. And that's kind of how this week has been. So over here in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, if you don't get anything out of this, just the next couple verses we're going to read, if you don't get anything tonight, try to get this, okay? And so we're going to pick up here in verse 22. Now, let's see here. I'm doing it again. 1 Corinthians 9. I must have turned. 1 Corinthians
9:22.
Go ahead and read it for me. That's exactly where we are.
The weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some.
Thank you. So what does that mean? I hate saying what does that mean, but what does that mean?
Made equal of the one around you.
What's that?
You have to know the people around you made them equal.
Yeah, but what else is it? I mean, yeah.
You know where they are.
Okay, you got to meet them, okay? And what else? I mean, is there more to that?
All became all things, all men.
So, but what is that? I mean, you guys are all right, but what is? I mean, I want you to really think about that. So back when we're trying to get Toledo off the ground, and went out there. Man, I just lost his name. Was out there, Parlin.
Park.
So his wife wanted me to come by, go out there, and he's kind of an old salt and everything. And I've been by a couple times, and, you know, I never was greeted with a holy kiss or anything like that. And but, you know, church, you know, I didn't have any money. Church wasn't paying me a lot at that time. And I had just, so I got a bad foot, so I buy expensive shoes. So I had a brand new pair of dress shoes. And I had a list of people, you know, trying to get Bible studies going, and people coming over, and I was all day going to be over there just, you know, knocking on the doors of the people coming over and the those who are traveling over to Albany. And I went to his house, and his wife said, oh, he's down the road feeding cows. Okay. And so I drive down with her. And if you've ever been around a place where there's lots of cows and they feed them and it's wintertime, what's it like?
It's really,
and it's messy. And I pulled up there, and I saw him fighting, you know, a bell or something. He was fighting something. And I pulled up there, and he didn't acknowledge me that I existed. I'm just sitting in the car, and I didn't sit for long. Like, you know, I kind of knew what kind of man he was too. And I thought, well, you can either do it, or you can just ruin everything. And so I got out of the car, and I walked right through everything, went over and helped him, ruined my shoes, ruined my pants. And I knew he was doing it. You know, I can't go to anybody else's house like this. And, you know, they're ruined. And I walked up to him, and I just started helping. And he looked down at me, and he said, I didn't think you were going to come out here. He said, nobody's ever done that before. And so I just helped him. And now my day's ruined. I can't, you know, I can't go to somebody else's house, you know, with because I didn't have food, because I didn't know this was what I was doing today. But he came to some Bible studies. Now, I never, the door never got flung all the way open, you know, and you know, I've been to his house more times. Yeah, my wife hung on his place and things like that. And but he made the comment, goes, I didn't think you were going to do that. He was waiting to see what I would do. He's just an old farmer, rancher, right? And he's like, I'm waiting to see what you are going to do. Do it. Because I got a chance to talk to him a little bit. You know, Brother Jacob was sharing about with me with Brother Tim and, you know, witnessing to him on the roof. You know, take advantage. Become all things, all men. And learn about him. Find what makes him tick. Try to find out something about him. Try to communicate with them. Try to see what a need is. Because you don't know what's going to happen next. And let's go ahead, Brother Alex.
So this might be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal to God, but made himself with no reputation, took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
So what? Yeah, go ahead.
Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, the things of heaven, the things of earth, things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God.
So you read a verse in the towards the beginning, and it said, Jesus became what?
Sir.
The Son of God. Became what? Became a servant. What's a servant? Do you ever think about what a servant does? Now, we don't live in a day and age where we have servants. I guess we have little kids, but who was the remote in the 70s? Okay, yeah, we were, you know, but eventually we outgrew it, right? But, you know, we were the servant. Go change the channel. You know, and then the rabbit ear things, you know, and some of you like know what we're talking about, but we used to not have remotes.
Yeah.
Well, we did. They were on two legs and they weren't very tall. And we had to go up there and manually turn the channel. And if we turned the channel when whoever was the king, they said they were watching it, even though they'd been asleep and snoring for, you know, an hour. And so then you got in trouble because you thought you were the remote and you could just change. And so that's why we grew up. And that's, you know, that was reality. Become a servant. Look for their needs. Try to see if there's something going on. Try to see if they look sad today. You know, if you know the stuff going on, try to reach them, whatever that might be. And sometimes it's just walking up and saying hi, you know? And I was thinking about this yesterday when I was studying this. I try to do this, but sometimes by the time I get in there, it doesn't happen very much. We are creatures of habit. And so maybe at your next potluck, go sit with somebody you don't normally sit with. And just get to know them. Just, you know, talk to them. Find out, you know, maybe you got more in common than you think. But just sit down with them. Oh, that'd be weird. Why'd it be weird? Learn to become a servant. You learn to become a servant now. You don't learn to become a servant when you get ordained. Right? Comments, questions, anybody? Anybody awake? Yes.
We get to pastor everybody.
Yep.
Not everybody gets pastored the same way.
Well, and sometimes it takes years to become somebody's pastor. And especially, so I was 28. How old were you, Brother Sean? You were pretty much the same age, 30. And there are some that, Brother Doug, how old were you?
30.
Yeah.
Yeah, 26, 27.
And so, you know, he was pretty young. And there was, you know, the church that in Albany was, you know, mixed. They had some younger people and they had some middle age, but they had some older ones. And it took a little bit for some of them to accept me as 28 as their pastor. This, you know, took a little bit, but it takes consistency and, you know, going to their house and you know, just being the same and treating them just like, you know, just trying to find whatever you do to help. And in time, you know, they all accept you. It just, don't expect somebody to accept you because you got a piece of paper that said you got ordained or one that said that you are licensed. Hey, don't expect that. That takes a little bit. All right. Anybody else? We're going to make a little transition. Yes.
So we teach, it's been taught in this school and probably get told that if you get called to be a pastor somewhere, God, that calling, God will give you a love for that flock or something along those lines. I'm sure that will probably get said. But they don't know. You may know with all your heart that you love them, but they don't know that.
Yeah, that takes a while.
So you're like,
and then hopefully the church is growing, so got new people that need to learn that too.
But if you know that God called you there, and you know that you would stay up all night, or you would do it. This is what you've been taught, and this is, they don't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they have to know that you love them, and you can stand up there and say, I love this church. You could say that, but there will be occasions to either give them a reason to think that, or there'll be occasions to give them a reason that he doesn't.
Really. It might just be showing up at the hospital. I mean, it might just be that simple.
And sometimes showing up at the hospital, the church member, they're out of it for 5 hours. They have no idea. But their family that's there, or their family that knows that you're there, that might make an impact on them.
Yeah, you never know. Yes. I was trying to move on. Go ahead. I'm just saying. You gotta have a tough skin, man.
I don't remember if it was our first Sunday or our second Sunday that we came to church, but it was a potluck Sunday. I'm going back to what you were saying before everybody started hands. We came in here, and I'm gonna say this because they're not here, so they can't feel like a pat on the back or anything like that. But Brother Spencer and Sister Kelby, we came over and we sat down and we got forced to the front line, which makes me super uncomfortable. Just because.
And you're new.
And we're new.
Yeah. I know. And it was just like, oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
But we sat down and they came over and sat down with us and just started talking to us like,
we've been friends forever. Yeah.
And we had no clue who these people were.
Yeah.
By the time we got done, we got up and left as friends, and it made us feel welcome again.
Yep.
So
the little things.
Exactly what you're saying is worth more than just the words that you just said. It's worth so much, especially the new people that just showed up.
We, and I think I mentioned this last time, we've been having some visitors come, and they, right before all this happened, it's like, it's been hard for, COVID kind of ruined being able to get in people's homes, at least in our area or for me. I've been really trying, but it just seems like it's, and now I got all this fun junk going on. They started coming, went to church camp, went on vacation, and then, we've been on the fun bus since then. And so they've been coming, and then they quit coming, and I figured, you know, it's this. And my first Sunday back, so I look like a Holocaust survivor, and I'm just sitting in the back, and I'm literally just trying to make it through for the Garrett's lesson. And, that came out. No. I don't think he was teaching that, but I'm joking. But he walked up, and I didn't see him walk in, and he walked over, and he's like, "Hey, are you all right?" And it's like, I knew what I looked like. And I said, "Yeah." And then he went over and sat down, and I, you know, he might not know. And so I went over and told him. And so they've been pretty steady on Sunday mornings. And I asked them a few weeks ago, "Hey, you got any questions? You know, I'd love to, you know, try to answer for you." And he said, "Well, if you got a minute." And so we just chatted, and we just chatted about life and things like that. But the point I'm trying to get to, become all things all men. Let this mind be in you. And Sister Julianne, can you, I'm being nice, Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, please. You know, we just talked about life. Our lives actually have pretty, there's a lot of parallels, and they're moving. And when one of the places they may be moving, they said, I heard you have a sister church over there. If we end up over there, can you get us hooked up with, you know, the pastor? And so what made them come, or made him anyway, they live kind of out there in that community development out there. He was jogging. He does these Spartan races, and he was jogging and came by, and there's a said there was a lady in a dress walking on the sidewalk, and she just waved at him. And he's like, well, they must be friendly. And they came, and everybody said hi. And they have a daughter that's a real gentle soul. And the mom told me she prays for you every time she prays that your cancer will be healed. Now, she's special needs. She's just soft as heart. I try to make sure I always shake her hand. I don't know if she's saved. I think she's able to, but that sits right in the front. Is it important that I let them know that that prayer is not going anywhere?
No.
No. It's important for me to know. It's not important for, I mean, there may come a time that lesson, you know, if we get down that road, those doors keep open. Right after I got out of the hospital, I had to go see my primary. I'm there. She comes in. Her and I have had a good relationship over the years. She kind of knows my thinking about some stuff, and she knows I'm a pastor. And she walks in there, and, you know, she's a little teary-eyed. And I think Jacob was there, and was your mom there? Three less, geez. Maybe Tessa, were you there? Anyway, she's crying. And she said, can I pray with you? No, because you're not a church, New Testament church member, and you don't understand, and that's not how it works. I just said, sure. Fell on my head. And I taught our kids when we went to their grandma and grandpa's house, and grandpa asked prayer for dinner, they were to bow their heads and they were to say their own prayer. And that's what I did. And sometimes it's not important that you fix everybody. Let the Holy Spirit do that.
Mm-hmm.
And now you may not think that was the right way, but she was bawling. She asked if she could pray. I know what the Bible teaches on prayer. I teach it a lot. But anything I would have done contrary to that in that minute would have probably closed that door for her with me. And she was being very sympathetic. And so that kind of leads into this next thing, Sister Julianne.
For all seek the home, not the things which are Jesus Christ.
Sometimes, and I mentioned this before, I actually even told her the church the other night, and I'm probably mentioned at school here a few times over the years. But when I went to Albany, I remember telling Brother Crabtree, you know, I'd been out there, you know, a couple months now, maybe a few weeks, whatever. I was like, man, there's no normal people out there. And he's like, you mean like you? And when he said that, I was like, yeah, I guess that's exactly what I mean. They're just not like me. And that kind of started a chain of thought. And then I remember driving on 99. I probably was coming down here for something, school, whatever. And I was just angry and beating on the steering wheel, thinking, it's like, what? I don't understand. You read it in the Bible. God says, thou shalt not. And we do. But then I'm like, well, I didn't always do thou shalt not. And then it dawned on me, it's not my job to fix people. My job is to preach, teach, and live it. and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And once I accepted that, it's made pastoring way easier. It's made preaching way easier. And if you don't get anything over there in Philippians, don't seek your own, seek that of God. Your job is not to... So when you go to a church and you're filling in, your job is not to fix the church. You do not know what happened and what was taught the last 5 weeks. And so this has happened to me twice, or, you know, to me or the church. And I think you get in troops. I think you put yourself on the wrong side of God when this kind of stuff happens. And I better hurry up. So we had some newer members. I had spent probably a couple weeks, 3 weeks, and it was on the gap. And that's where the question came from. And I'd done it in a Bible study. I'd been to their house. I did it with the church. And so I got hours of Bible study and individual and services on this. And I'm wrapping it up tonight. And I'm in over there at Jeremiah. I'd already been through it once. And I'm just going to wrap this up. And the young preacher is there. And he starts in that that's wrong. You're not rightly dividing. And that's error and everything else. And I am hot. And, but I also don't want to destroy him. And I also don't want to make a scene, but I'm angry. And, so then I had to spend the next 45 minutes reversing everything he just ruined. Cause I'm done. I mean, I'm 5 minutes from being done with this hours long, you know, a couple service long stuff. And then, another one, I wasn't there, and they came and they preached on something that they knew that I was not, that I was against and the church was against, I think just to make a point. Neither one of them have ever preached in the Albany church again. And they've never not preached. I've never said a word. I've never said these guys can't preach and they're not in this room. They can't preach, can't have them. You know, I never said a word, never uttered one thing. They just never got nominated. And they've never been back to preach. Who do you think did that? I think the Holy Spirit did that. Mm-hmm. And if you think you're going to fix a church, if you go to Toledo and you don't like the way Brother Sean combs his hair and wears his colorful ties and you just start preaching on that, don't be surprised if you don't get back. And he may not say a word. Is God going to let you put you somewhere or let you do something if you are not going to do it with the heart that he wants it done with? I don't believe so. Let's go to Acts 20, 28. We'll just stop right here. Oh, and then I'll give you quick your homework for next time. Acts 20, 28. Sister Mandy, you got that one? Or is it right easy for you? I see you got kids on your lap. But...
Speaking therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath gained you over tears, speaking the church of God, which is your purchase with the joy.
So who brings the man and the church together?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Okay. He brings the two together. And then, you know, that's how it works. It's, and he paid for it with his blood. Is he going to let you pastor one of his churches if you don't follow and allow him to mold you to what he needs you to be?
No.
I would say no. I would say no. And those two incidents that I just mentioned, that has always struck with me. That, because I've never said a word. I've never said anything to name, mention, whatever. They never, ever got nominated ever again. I think God had something to do with that. And, I mean, so that's over 30 years ago. Your job's not to fix. Job's to preach, teach, practice it.
Mike?
Yes.
Yeah. With your keeping all right here, he brought one verse from my memory, and that's the one in January. That people think that we have to fight the devil.
And so you said, you don't have to fight it. You just have to lift it. Let the whole square to the back portion.
Yeah. And that's harder. That is harder for us to do because we're fixers, right? And some of us have that mentality. My mentality is kind of, you know, I want to fix you and want to help you. But sometimes you know, we just looked at this the other night in the Bible study. Sometimes you got to sleep outside and get cold and hungry, and you got to let God do that. Okay, anybody else, real quick? You guys all really quiet. So, real quick, next homework. And, you know, we're going to transition tomorrow into attitude a little bit, and you got to have a humble attitude. And again, preach it to myself. But can you teach this? Okay. Can you, and Brother Doug, referencing this, and, but I want you to be able, and I don't want us to spend all night on it or all, you know, in the next class time, but church perpetuity. These are things that you are probably going to have to bring out more often than not. And so can you teach church perpetuity? Can you take somebody and bring that out and show them in the Bible where, you know, churches start churches? Can you do that? And then I'm trying to think if I want to do this next one. So I don't want to take forever. Yeah, we will. Saints. Now I use that a lot, reference that a lot. Who are the saints? And can you show somebody in the Bible who the saints are? And there are topics that we all have to, you know, learn and get better on and stronger. And I was just looking in the back of my Bible because I had it rebound and I haven't used it forever just to see if I still had these. So in the back of your Bibles, there's usually some blank pages. And I would just write a lesson down, you know, got one on the cap back here. Cause at that time I couldn't remember everything, and then baptism and, just whatever the lesson was that might come up that I felt maybe I needed a little, you know, more study help, you know, and I just, I'd write that down because you don't know who's going to ask you what, and use those pages, Brother Trent, like those pages right there, you know, write them down. But that, whatever that lesson might be, and make it your own so that you can teach it. Okay, Brother Josh, I had you on that, so go ahead and read that for us. Because we'll pick up there tomorrow. Go ahead. You still on Nehemiah?
Nehemiah 8.
Yes. You've got to be able to teach. It's one of your requirements, and teaching is not a title. It's not getting a position. It's the ability to take information and take somebody to a spot. Okay? Go ahead.
They render the book of the law of God distinctly and make the sense and cause them to understand and read.
All right. So the Holy Spirit's the one who does primary teaching, but you got to communicate. You got to guide. You got to kind of set the order, and that's through prayer. And you ever notice that sometimes the devotional, the Sunday school lesson, and then the message are all the same? Or the same topic. Well, they didn't talk to each other. That's the Holy Spirit. And but if those people didn't study, then God can't bring that out. And so you got to study. And if you don't have a study time, you need one. And when things become a habit, there's good habits to have. So, Brother Sean.